One down, we think, and two to go. We're talking the auto strike. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 26th day of October. We're grateful you're with us again today. In other news, the economic growth of the U.S. in the third quarter was even larger than anticipated. A professor in Georgia looked at what's keeping black families out of home ownership, and we'll share the data. We've got some food news for you. Think chicken. The Wall Street Report is coming at you. Consumers and consumer debt going into the holiday season. That's quite the story. For the interview, we'll have Ro Crosby with us from Taro International. The topic? Asking the right questions. We think you'll find this very interesting. But first, the news.
Insight on business, news, and comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Taro International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful, as always, that you've decided to come with us and learn a little bit more about the impact of the business news headlines for today. And by the way, you want to reach us on social media? Over on X, formerly known as Twitter, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour. And then over on Threads, it's Insight on Business. Well, the goal on all sides is to put this auto strike behind us. Stellantis and GM have been in contract talks all day in an effort to hammer out an agreement that would mirror the tentative agreement the UAW has in place with the Ford Motor Company. It's not unusual in situations like this that after one agreement is met, the others fall into place rapidly. The strategy behind the union's efforts was to shut down plants that manufacture the cash cows of the industry, and that seems to have worked, at least with Ford. Going forward with Stellantis and General Motors, well, additional strikes would be painful to the companies, especially at GM, which has profitable pickup truck plants in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Flint, Michigan, that the union could, we underscore, could shut down. It was just yesterday that we reported the U.S. GDP may grow at the impressive rate of 4.5%. We, it seems, were a bit short. The nation's economy expanded at a robust 4.9% annual rate from July through September as Americans defied higher prices, rising interest rates, and widespread forecasts of a recession, and they were spending at a brisk pace. The Commerce Department said the economy expanded last quarter at the fastest pace in nearly 2 years, and more than twice the 2.1% annual rate of the previous quarter. Once again, you, the consumer, drove the economy forward. You continued to spend on everything from cars to restaurant meals. Even though the painful inflation of the past 2 years has soured many people's view of the economy, millions have remained willing to splurge on vacation, concert tickets, and sporting events. So now, what about the fourth quarter? Some spending by companies has slowed, no doubt due to the higher interest rates to get capital to expand. So once again, we'll be watching consumer spending as we head into the holiday season. Wall Street took all of this news badly. The massive rise in the U.S. economy will no doubt mean the Fed will go back to raising rates, and investors are not keen on that. In addition, big tech contributed to the downturn on the day. Those numbers, they're coming at you in just a bit. Years ago, a practice called redlining kept black and Jewish families out of various neighborhoods. The red line was a geographical mark on a map that told banks who to allow in that neighborhood and who to deny. While redlining is illegal, there is yet another way black families are losing out on home ownership. Brian Y. Ann is the Director of Master of Science in Public Policy Program and assistant professor of public policy at the Georgia Institute of Technology. And he has studied a million home sales in Atlanta and shares a stunning report. The bottom line is that Wall Street investors have been buying large numbers of single-family homes to use as rentals. As of 2022, big investment firms owned nearly 600,000 such properties nationwide. Now, critics say this practice drives up home prices and worsens the housing shortage, making it harder for families to afford to buy. However, industry advocates dismiss such charges, arguing that large investment firms own just a tiny fraction of single-family rental housing across the U.S. In fact, they say it's less than 4% of the total. Professor Ann analyzed more than 1 million property sales in the Atlanta metropolitan area from 2007 to 2016. Since the study period included the mortgage crisis, he excluded bulk sales, such as the packages of foreclosed homes that aren't available to typical homebuyers. He examined only arm's-length transactions of single-family detached homes where buyers and sellers act independently. He found that global investment firms buying up local properties are indeed hurting Atlanta families, specifically Black families. Large investment firms buying up local properties explain fully three-quarters of the decline in African-American home ownership. In contrast, non-Hispanic whites were largely unaffected. It turns out that while Wall Street firms control just a sliver of the single-family rental market nationally, they can have a much more influence at the local level. In the Atlanta metro area, those firms owned nearly one-third of all single-family rental properties. They're even more concentrated in predominantly Black neighborhoods, where more than 10 houses in a row can be owned by the same corporation. Ann says that local governments and nonprofits can use this methodology that he's created to unveil all the corporate-owned residential properties in any neighborhood and link them to outcomes such as code violations. Well, it looks like the Colonel has been dethroned. Business Insider is reporting that Popeyes and KFC are losing market share to Chick-fil-A, but the brand taking the biggest hit is KFC. CNBC reports that Popeyes is now the number two fried chicken player, leapfrogging over KFC, citing market share research by Barclays. In terms of sales, the race is tight. KFC and Popeyes are both logging more than $5 billion a year in sales, according to Techmonic's latest Top 500 report. But Popeyes, which is expanding rapidly across the U.S., is selling food with fewer locations in the U.S. compared to KFC. In 2022, Popeyes had nearly 3,000 restaurants in the U.S., KFC, 4,000. Aha, the chicken wars. It was another rough day on Wall Street as the Dow sank by 251 points to close at 32,784, while the Nasdaq lost 225 points to end the trade at 12,595 as the tech sector disappointed. The S&P 500 fell by 49 points, ending the day at 4137. West Texas Intermediate crude lost on the day as well, down by over $1.80 to $83.58 a barrel. And the 10-year Treasury note slipped again, falling to 4.847%. And finally, there is this, and this is about the consumer debt situation as we head into the holiday season. You know, as we gear up for this holiday season, retailers and economists are watching for signs of distress on how much debt you and I and they are assuming. That issue is being monitored as we see rising interest rates and the resumption of student loan repayments. Credit card delinquencies have increased but remain below the highs of the Great Recession. Macy's says delinquencies have risen faster than planned. Walmart also sees debt-related challenges. Retailers will have to wait until early 2024 to get a clearer picture of the burdens consumers are facing. But we do know this. The average credit card interest rate is 21%, according to the Federal Reserve. But that's nothing. When we take a look at the average rate on a retail credit card, that's a record high 28.9%, according to Bankrate. That's high. Be careful. Stay with us as we talk about questions. My guest is Ro Crosby, the founder, CEO, and president of the training company Tarot International. What's the power behind being able to ask the right question at the correct time? You'll find out along with us. Let's go. And thanks for listening.